detective phases program comprises the following four sub-programs: crime investigations, specialized investigations, criminal record center, and forensic science laboratory. So, your chairperson, I'll hand over to John Ruskin. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. With your permission, I'll just quickly report back on the shooting range issue. Foray in Western Cape will be the only shooting range, and will also serve everybody in the Western Cape, as well as the big training colleges for Lippi, as well as Bishop Labors. So I think it's a necessity in this regard, and will be both in a sense. Then, Program 3. Program 3, as I've indicated yesterday, sir, and members of the committee, very, very main artery in the police, because it's your whole investigative detection environment. So once an offence has been committed, this environment kicks in all forms and sorts. Now, again, four sub-programs. The fifth big one, the crime investigations, which are most of the detectives countrywide, of which General Munu, to my right-hand side, is the principal. Then you also have the Criminal Record Center as a sub-program, and also the Forensic Science Laboratory, of which General Pashlani is the principal. And then also you have Specialized Investigations, which is, in fact, then, as we indicated yesterday to members of the committee, the current DPCI. Now, maybe just a word before we look at the bullets. What needs to be done is, based going forward for 1560, the creation of a program six needs to be established based on certain protocols and other arrangements already determined also in this committee and as well as internally. One would then have to take some funds and functions from this sub-program 4 and move it to sub-program 1, because there will have to be a division of who's doing what based on a functional verification. This is just an incidental comment because it was raised yesterday. Be that as it may, the crime investigations of the normal detection, the detectives, because I wanted to say general detectives, but that word is not acceptable to the detectives, because they also do certain specialized work. The crime investigations is the biggest sub-program in this program. Then you have the Criminal Record Center and the Forensic Science Laboratory, being referred to in organizational structure terms as forensic services. They are also very big, and you will find that your CJS funds are embedded in those two amounts, and those especially on the operational side as well. And then you have your specialized investigations regarding the DPCI. As we say there, bullet number 3, CJS revamp initiatives, the operational portion, will also strongly promote further capacity enhancement at forensics to the value of 304.6 million. The Criminal Record Center, 275.0 million. And training in general for detective capacity, 124.5 million. And IT, 8.13.5 million. Now, then also specialized investigations consisting of DPCI, significant resourcing of the DPCI, especially from 2012-13, and that reference to 12-13 is correct, it's not 13-14. In 12-13, a significant additional amount was added to the baseline every year. So it's got a very substantial baseline. Then it's also important to note that detectives, your crime investigation detectives, receive specific training focus, has also been indicated under Program 1. We also strengthen stock theft units And then most importantly, the re-establishment of the for Family Violence, Child Protection and Sexual Offences units in recent times also necessitated further resourcing, which is the last bullet that we are referring to. But it should be noted by members of this committee, once again, we will monitor this very closely, and in conjunction with their workload as well, we will have a favorable, very, very favorable consideration of increasing these SES units' capacity should the need arise going forward as well. So, this is the program detective services, and although scarcity is underlying in any economic system, I think to a large extent, especially three of these sub-programs are very, very highly resourced, although in the detection side we can still refine as we go along in the over the next NTF. But all in all, sir, this was what we said.
General Mooney.
Thank you, General. Honourable Chief, Honourable Members. The strategic priority would be the effective investigation of serious crime. The performance indicator, detection rate for serious crime. The target set for the 2014-15 financial year was 44%, which is equivalent to 862,519 cases or charges. The percentage of trial-ready case dockets for serious crimes, the target set is 72.89%, which is 262,889 charges. The conviction rate for serious crime, the target is 88.32%, which is 222,714 charges. The next strategic priority is effective investigation of serious crime again, which is the performance indicator would be detection rate for crime dependent on police action for detection. The target set is 100%, which is 294,274 charges. The next performance indicator would be percentage of trial-ready case dockets for crime dependent on police action for detection. The target set is 65%, which is 140,416 charges. The conviction rate for crime dependent on police action for detection, the target is 98%, which is 136,392 charges. The next strategic priority would be effective investigation and detection of serious crime against women and children. The target set is 75%, which is 160,982 charges. The next strategic priority is effective investigation and detection of serious crime against women and children. Again, the target set is 57.8% for trial-ready case dockets for crime against women 18 years and above, which is your murder, attempted murder, all sexual offences, common assault and assault, GBH, which is grievous bodily harm. The conviction rate for crime against women 18 years and above, again the same categories of crime, is maintained at 80.31%, which is 31,900 charges. The next performance indicator would be detection rate for crime against children under 18 years. The categories of crime remain the same. The target set is 72%, which is 46,220 charges. The next indicator would be percentage of trial-ready case dockets for crime against children under 18 years. Same categories again. The target set is 58.66%, which is 17,479 charges. The next performance indicator would be conviction rate for crime against children under 18 years, same category. The target set is 80.66%, 0.04%, which is 11,290 charges. And Honourable Chairperson, through you, the next strategic priority will be dealt with by the DPCI General Arnson.
General Arnson will deal with next slide from 91 to 93. Then will be followed by General Pasani, taking from 94 to 95.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, General and Honourable Members. In terms of our strategic objective to contribute to the successful prosecution of crime by investigating, gathering and analysing evidence, thereby increasing the detection rate of priority crime, sub-programme specialised investigation. Our first strategic priority is specialized investigation of serious corruption. Our performance indicator is percentage of trial-ready case docket for fraud and corruption for individuals within the JCPS cluster. The baseline performance for 2012-2013 was 63%. Estimated performance 2013-2014 is 40%, and that will be maintained as a target for 2014-2015. In specialized investigation of serious commercial crime, there we have two indicators. Detection rates for serious commercial crime related charges. The target or the baseline performance for 2012-2013 was 50%, but we achieved 86.1%. Estimated performance 2013-2014, it was increased by 2% to 52%. And the new target set for 2014-2015, we increased it with 10% to 62%. Percentage of trial-ready case dockets for serious commercial crime-related charges. Baseline performance for 2012-2013 was 30%, but we achieved 56.5%. The new target set for the estimated performance for 2013-2014, we increased it with 2% to 32%, and then the target set for 2014-2015 will be increased by 12% to 44%. Strategic priority 3. Specialized investigation of serious organized crime. Percentage of registered serious organized crime project investigation. Baseline performance for 2012-2013 is 44.07% for registered projects successfully terminated. Estimated performance 2013-2014, 32%. Of registered projects successfully terminated. The target set for 2014-2015 will be 42% of registered projects successfully terminated. Then we're moving to strategic priority 4. This slide must be read with the next performance indicator. This addresses the serious corruption where officials are involved in procurement fraud and corruption related cases by 2014, convicting 100 people where the amount involved is more than 5 million. Your percentage of registered serious organized crime project investigation. Here we'll, the baseline performance is 2012-2013, 34 trial-ready case dockets, 25 trial-ready case dockets, and that will be maintained also in the year 2014 for the period 2014-2015. And as you know, this indicator is the output, is the output 5 of the ACPT, the team that has been established. In terms of the performance indicator, the value of amount involved in procurement fraud and corruption related cases, the baseline performance is, it's just over 1 billion that rand has been assets has been restrained and seized. In estimated performance 2013-2014, more than 5 million in assets, and the same applies 2014-2015, more than 5 million. This as the JCPS, this is also a service delivery agreement, and that was agreed to, you know, that this amount should, or this performance indicator should continue for the, you know, for a 5-year period. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Two strategic priorities that are being pursued, one applicable to the Criminal Record Centre, that is improving procedures for the updating the records of offenders. The performance indicator there is the percentage of original previous conviction reports generated, and the target being pursued is 93% of original previous conviction reports generated in calendar days. The second one which applies to the Forensic Science Laboratory sub-program, improving the collection and processing of crime scene exhibits. The performance indicator there being percentage of case exhibit entries processed by forensic services, and the target 93% of routine case exhibits or entries processed by forensic services within 28 working days. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Right, honourable members, we will go to the questions. Ms. Colin Barnard, Mr. Mbele, Ms. Walibati,
I must say I get quite frustrated with the figures that at first glance look fantastic, and then you start digging into it, because we're looking at a large number of arrests, but a huge number of those arrested are then that drops away because they can't find the evidence, they fall away. Then of that small amount left, then they can't get half of them court ready. So that falls away. And the tiny number that are left, they then say, okay, we want 88%. It looks fantastic, 88% conviction rate. But what the reality is that a huge number have simply not made it to court. I don't know, maybe it's a case of statistics, but it's very difficult to buy when you aren't in the knowledge that we have hundreds of thousands of crimes, but in fact a very small number of the total makes it to court. And then, you know, what are the conviction rates? I know we have the targets here, but if we could actually see what the arrest rate versus the conviction rate. I mean, people sent to jail, conviction rate was, because surely that is what the core mandate is to arrest the criminals and jail them. And yet somehow we just have these huge numbers sliding off left and right, and we're left with a tiny little core, and then say, look, we jailed 88% of them. It's not reflective of the total. And I think that's the big concern, because the people on the street are saying, but this one was never arrested. They never came to visit me. My father's murder, they never bothered to come. This crime, they didn't bother to come. It's not working for me. Please just address that. Address the real issue of arrest versus convictions.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to preface my two questions just by saying that I think all of us recognize that there are pockets of excellence, especially when it comes to the detective service, because that's the dynamo that kind of translates the policing chain from visible policing into prosecutions and the remainder of the criminal justice system. And I do want to acknowledge those pockets of excellence that do exist, because, you know, many people, myself included, have experienced personal tragedy, and you just find those brilliant warrants officers and those investigators who are just on the ball and do an amazing job. And I think it's important just to voice that there is appreciation and good recognition of those pockets where they do exist. But my two questions are, firstly, what is the reason for the drop in the allocation for forensic services between the last financial year and this one? And secondly, my take for numbers is mediocre at best. So I must please ask the colleague, which was under the slide 93, just the figure in the baseline performance for 2012-13 of 1.024.885.254.16. I got very lost in all those commas and full stops. Can I please just have that outlined again a bit more slowly? Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. My other question is taken about the decrease of allocation in the forensic science laboratory. And my second question goes to General Moon. What is the number of detectives trained on specialized areas like organized crime? My next question goes to General Hassan. And it goes, what is the situation regarding the backlog?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my question links with the Honourable Malawachi. My question is, how many detectives do we have now? The last figure I have was 22,244, I think. If you look at about 1.8 million cases, according to the documents itself, yeah, how many detectives do we have now? Not specialized, that's just one question. My second one is, Chairperson, as far as the Criminal Record Center is concerned, the fingerprints, we passed a special legislation for the merger of Home Affairs and fingerprints there. Can we have a report on the progress? My last question, Chairperson, maybe it doesn't fit in here, but answer me there. Because the public asks me, how is it possible that if a person has been arrested for drunken driving, that the blood test will take at least a year to get the results? I don't know what to answer. Luckily, I've never been in such a situation. But my question is, what do I say to the people? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Juan. I want to know, because when I see it, they said the level of corruption is high. You put your target at 40%. Is this not too low? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. We will take this basket and then we will another round.
Chair, thank you very much. And let's first thank Honorable Mbele for those issues around the pocket of excellence. You wanted clarity on, is it slide 93? Yes.
That was the second one, along with the reduction in the forensic services reduction.
On slide 93, I shall request General Arenze to deal with this, General Skete to deal with the reduction for allocation. And then, Honorable Mlibati, you raised two issues around the FSL. I think one question to General Munu on detectives. So I'll ask General Kasani to deal with the backlog and the allocation issues around the FSL. General Skete, in collaboration with him, will deal with it. It was issue around the number of detectives. General Muni will touch on that. And then the issues around the harness matter with DHA. I'll ask General Kasani to deal with that. Issues of black test, just to say, I'm sure General Kasani will also touch on that one. Unfortunately, that is not our remit. It's the remit of the Department of Health. Yeah. So, and then there's a question, General. Munu will also touch on. I think the serious corruption, it will go to General Arenze. He will then deal with it. There's an issue that I just want to touch on. If you look at the remit that were given as police in terms of the Constitution, which then plays itself into our Police Act, it talks about us preventing crime, detecting and investigating crime. It then talks about us maintaining public order, peace and safety. It then talks about us protecting life and property of the inhabitants. And finally, it talks about law enforcement. We feed into the court. We must make sure that we have the dockets that are court ready. The performance of the court will always be, and we have said it in here, we will debate it over and over again, how the court performs to reach a conviction is another story, because when they decide, when we feel, first and foremost, if the court says to us, this docket is ready, that's the first thing that says the court has looked at our investigation and they've accepted our file. If they send it back, that's a very serious point of contention for us, because then we must go back and say our investigation is not ready. But once the court is over, the performance of the prosecutor, the magistrate, and all those is totally outside our remit. Ours is to make sure that our dockets are acceptable to the evaluating prosecutor, who says, yes, this file is ready for court. There we put everything. Those files that come back bother us a lot, and we make sure that we investigate further to complete that. So the issue of conviction is one of those that are highly debatable. We contribute towards that. We are not primarily responsible alone for that. Okay. Let me get the colleagues in terms of the allocation. General Kasani, I'll start with you.
Thanks, Chair. Honorable members. The first one on drunken driving, I guess the National Commissioner has responded to. Drunken driving cases and toxicology are the competency of the Department of Health. We do not do it in the police forensic science laboratories. Therefore, I'm unable to answer on why it takes so long. But I think it's a matter that interests us. If it were to be brought to the police, I guess it will assist in fast-tracking the cases through the courts. Honorable Chair, the second question related to the fingerprints, the Criminal Law Forensic Amendment Act. Correctly so, it has been passed. is being implemented currently. There is already a memorandum of understanding between us and the Department of Home Affairs. There is deployment of our people within health, Home Affairs, for us to be able to access the records. In as far as the system integration, that process is underway. We have engaged the Department of Home Affairs. We now have cost estimates. It is purely a question of triggering the procurement processes to make sure that that electronic interface is taking place. But in line with the Act, we have already deployed in sister departments like SSA for vetting purposes, so they are able from where they are able to access our records. That limited access has been provided. I think also in military intelligence, it is our plan following this initial rollout to roll out to the Department of Justice because they need that accessibility for the purposes of processing expungements and so on. We also need to ensure a rollout to social development when it comes to cases related crimes against women and children. So that process is currently underway.
Chairperson, sorry, with respect, can we just get the indication when we will finalize this? Because we passed that act, I think, in 2012. I may be wrong, but it's long due. Can we just get the finalization of a date?
Thank you, Mr.
Kuro.
Any other questions?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. It's a process that we wanted to see being finalized, the integration thereof in this current financial year. Thus, in our engagement with the Department of Home Affairs, was to get the actual costing so that we do not only talk about us being able, from one point, being able to access that information, but it must become a much more seamless approach. So we hope by the end of this financial year, we will have covered some ground.
Chair, can I just add something to that? As a JCTS class, as DGs, one of the exercises we've gone on to, the whole coordination of the IJS, CJS, and cluster initiatives that are cross-cutting, such as this one, the Department of Justice is now leading this. The whole Center for the Coordination is sitting there, while with Treasury and all others. We've gone through a process of prioritizing those cross-cutting initiatives so that we can line them up, because there are many. Detention management, all those type of issues. This one is one of the prioritized ones because there are mutual benefits between the police, the courts, the Home Affairs and all those, and we hope that the priority will receive the priority treatment. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. The question relating to backlogs, let me say I have information up to the 1st of April, in other words, the commencement of this current financial year. We were having backlogs of 9,357. At the commencement of the previous financial year, our backlog was 20,612. We suggest when we look at our figures, that backlog was reduced by about 45% throughout the whole of the previous financial year. This is against a receipt rate of about 308,424 exhibits. There are already environments where we talk zero backlogs. Question document is one. Ballistic is another environment. The whole of the Eastern Cape Laboratory has got zero backlogs, and as well as our KwaZulu-Natal Laboratory. This number that I'm giving is backlogs more in the chemistry environment drugs. Honorable members will appreciate that the police operations are generating much more in terms of drugs that are coming into the laboratory. So that is an area where I think we are lacking behind, but there are efforts to cope with the demand. Also in the area of biology, but we are very comfortable with the current affairs. We are progressing very well. Honorable Chair General, if you don't mind, I'm going to defer the question on the drop in the finances to General Skete.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 15 of the E&E, we actually give the reason. Previously, remember all CGS funds are there. Previously, and I'm going to read, the significant increase in spending in the Forensic Science Laboratory sub-program between 2010-11 and 2013-14 was due to the allocation of additional funding for the CJS revamp program and the acquisition of specialized technical analysis equipment and related resources, including semi-automated equipment. This was to obtain better results on the degraded and problematic DNA samples. This also explains the significant growth in expenditure on machinery, equipment, and computer services during that time. There was an additional allocation during that year in the CJS, which increased it, and obviously, once that over those 3-4 years, those additionals decreased, then you will have a small decrease of 6%, but you will see if you go back to the E&E, the next year it starts increases again as we add the plaintiffs. That in essence is basically the reason, because there was a balloon period where the CGS was higher than normally. Thank you.
Thank you, General. I'm going to deal with the question from Honorable Mueller on serious corruption, as well as slide 93 from Honorable Mbele.
Thank you, Jenny. Just on the 40%, this particular strategic priority is related to the output 3, and it's an interdepartmental determined target that was set within the JCPS cluster. What I was informed is that there is a they are in the process of reviewing that particular target. So until those departments sit and determine that, most probably there will be better clarity when we, you know, either if they do decide to increase the target, it's not dependent on DPCI only. It's a multi departmental. The entity that must determine that particular, you know, target. With regard to the one that should reach 1 billion. Now I don't know if myself also in terms of my understanding of numbers, I will have to verify that. Yeah, it is 1 billion. Yeah, those are the two questions that were. Yeah, just to indicate that it's not the DPCI, even though it takes part of that, it's a multi agency and interdepartmental decision that has to be taken in terms of determining the target. Yes.
The bulk of the questions that are remaining are now with you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. There is two questions from the honourable members. The first question dealing with how many detectives do we have. As at the end of March 2014, there were 25,771 Police Act members. These are functional members in the detective service. 25,771 Police Act members. That's excluding your clerks. On the question of specialized training, and specifically dealing with organized crime, we have members that are trained, that are in the detective environment, that have these organized crime courses, but these members were previously trained, not now. Since organized crime and commercial crime went over to the DPCI, those courses were specifically, or were only for that environment, the DPCI. However, I have already liaised with the DPCI, where they have allocated me 3 courses this year when it comes to organized crime and commercial crime. Due to the fact that their mandates are changing, we need these courses in the detective environment. The other courses, when it comes to stock theft, vehicle-related crime, those courses are family violence and child protection. They are specifically for the detective environment, and we have members trained in those environments. In the FCS for this financial year, we had 525 members trained. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I have a few questions and we'll go to another round. I just want to have maybe assurance from the National Commission in terms of the DPCI judgment, whether all the arrangements in terms of finances. Sorry. My microphone is on, yes. Yes. Maybe just in terms of the DPCI judgment, I just want to have the assurance from the National Commissioner whether all the arrangements is in place in terms of the budget, in terms of the reporting lines, independence. I just want to have something on that. And then I think a very important question that was raised by Honourable Mabija this afternoon, and I want to also take that to the question of the detective service. Now, in the legacy report of the 4th Parliament, there was indication that detective rates for serious crimes were not achieved. Also raised, the committee at that stage also raised its concerns regarding the poor performance and failure of detectives to achieve their intended targets. Now the question is, and also the question of the rural policing and so on, the question of urban and rural bias in terms of addressing crime. The question is, especially in terms of resources, in terms of the detectives, because at the end of the day, it's about the outcomes, whether people feel safe or secure, and there is there's a real change in the rural areas in terms of solving crime. The question is really, in terms of resources, in terms of giving the extra impetus, is there the same, urgency in terms of the rural areas than in the urban areas? For instance, in the Pistorius case, we've got General Mooney sitting there, I think they replaced the initial team and so on. Now the question is, in those rural areas, what is happening there in terms of solving those cases? So the question is, in terms of our strategy for rural policing, are we on track for? That is, are we making that difference? Right, we'll take also other questions.
We don't have Oscar Pretorius in the rural areas.
Honourable Code of Honour.
Yeah, thank you. Looking at rape, the NGOs have informed me over the years that only one woman in 25 actually goes into a SAP station and reports a rape. Now, in some stations, we've got really well-resourced, wonderful rooms set aside for the privacy of rape survivors. Some areas they just use as coffee rooms. But on the whole, women are terrified to go into SAP stations. Now, is there a strategy to deal with the fears that are engendered by the seemingly endless footage of criminal police beating people and news that they rape people, etc.? I mean, what are you doing to ease the fears of these victims? secondly, in relation to the Department of Health issue, this has been a problem for years and years and years. General Pakalane knows full well my thoughts on the matter. We see cases of drunk driving. You do your job, and you sit and wait for a year. And then your drunk driving case thrown off the court roll because, you know, the blood vial is on the back of a tortoise coming from Cape Town or Pretoria or wherever. It just doesn't get there. So you've wasted your time, and the guy goes out and gets drunk, and next time they'll kill someone. So are you in negotiation with the Department of Health? I mean, to say yes, it's their problem, but it's not actually, because it ends up being your problem. I've felt for a very long time that the criminal matters should be taken and dealt with. We've got magnificent laboratories. Take that and deal with it in our own labs. Is that not something that should be negotiated with the Department of Health? They're not doing the job for you. Do it for yourselves. And then finally, Jackie Celebi notoriously shut down all of the specialized units. We all know why. I know you've reopened the SCS units. Now, the last minister said that he intended to open more, but he didn't get round to it. Is there any progress in this regard? You know, there were the anti-hijacking unit, the narcotics bureau, anti-gang units, et cetera, et cetera. Research globally shows that specialized units are the 21st century policing best practice. Is there something being done in this regard?
Thank you, Honourable Member. Other members? Let's take that.
Chair, thank you very much. The issue of the Glenister matter and the DPCI judgment. Yes, processes are underway. We have a migration project that we're working on. General Munu has touched on part of that to start saying some of the organized crime matters are now being migrated back to the detectives, because in terms of purification of responsibility as per that act, close to 60-70% of that work has to be hived off back into the detectives. So we're looking at all those things. We're looking at the financials related to that, so that they remain with those prioritized responsibilities that the Act requires them to do. But also the migration is also looking at, for whatever reason, detection is detection is detection. We must find ways of actually connecting dots, because otherwise we actually take away from leveraging from that extended capacity of the various police environments to detect, because for all intents and purposes, DPCI is a specialized unit with some elevated maybe image and reputation. It is no fundamentally different from an FCS and whatever, but we respect the law. We must still find a way of saying, how do we still support them through our CI? How do we ensure that the ground cover for detection is not necessarily siloed? We must find ways of doing that. So the migration project is doing that. The minister is also on board, because a lot of the responsibilities in terms of direct relations goes to him. I remain on board in terms of ensuring that I allocate resources and I make them account for the resources, because as an accounting officer, they must show how they've used the money so that I can come here and be able to account for utilization of that. So that migration process is seriously underway. The urban and rural bias, as well as how we deal with resources and outcomes. I do want to say, Chair, a lot of design issues, which are historic, debilitate that space. And this is why yesterday you would have heard that we spoke a lot around enhancing that rural policing strategy. The design issues talk to the location of our police stations. If you just look at access indicators, you would realize that in the urban areas, anything between 0 and 20 kilometers, you are able to find a station. The target is very varied in the rural areas, and this is where we mentioned yesterday that we're looking at multiple solutions, mobile policing processes, as well as low-cost type infrastructure, such as the facilities I spoke about yesterday, where we are working with companies such as Transnet. So that's something that we're focusing quite a lot on, because rural design also puts that pressure on us. If you go to Kuruman, we have a big station there, but around Kuruman we have something like 34 villages. The distance between those villages are anything between 40 and 80 kilometers, and you cannot use the resource in design of detectives like the one you would give in Soweto. Because if you are saying you are having 6 or 10 detectives, those villages are vast. That detective will take many days to just, you know, investigate the cases that are there. So we would be at some point coming back just to say, how have we advanced that using some of these solutions that we're looking for, mobile offerings, as well as you know, other infrastructure processes. We're also participating in the performance, the efficiency and effectiveness performance forum that has been created by the Chief Justice. It's also there in the provinces, because we're looking again to say, because we're facing common challenges, how are we going to leverage of each other's efforts to start saying, for instance, social development, if you are having a facility that you are putting in such and such a place, can you give us a point where we can operate as police? Those type of things are seriously being explored, because the issue of rural development is a priority of this government, and we are really putting our heads together, all of us, to ensure that access issues that have a historic nature get resolved. So it's an area that we're focusing on, Chair. The agency is there. The resources will always be debilitating, but we'll do whatever we can to find the means of using the little that we have to bring that relief and access to the rural communities. Honorable Bana addressed the issue of rape and reporting the terrified, how we deal with terrified people to deal with issues of rape and easing their fears. I think the discussions that we've brought to this committee about our FCS units, which are more already reacting to what has happened, our victim-friendly facilities, as well as ensuring that where we don't have a victim-friendly facility, we have a service where we're able to say, should somebody be affected, come to our environment, we would be able to give them that specialized, respectful attention. But also the important one that I want to add to that is that we're also looking at extending our offering through networks. The lifelines of this world, the child welfare of this world, so that some of the people who are not feeling comfortable to come in, if they phone in, were able to say, if it would help in any way, lifeline comes in, gives counseling, encourages and all that. So we're using those three offerings to say we will have, in fact, four, the FCS unit in each cluster, the victim-friendly facility in the station, the service, which requires that we identify particular people, we train them, they know how to engage with those members. Fourthly, we're building those networks with the child welfare, with the lifelines, and all those units. And it's a growing but confidently developing area. So we'll be able at some point just to shed some light in terms of how we're progressing in that area. The Department of Health issue and the blood testing environment, Chairperson. At times, you know, when mandates are given, like we're talking about the clinics, they were able to act. Some of the mandates are above us. We can negotiate, but they're above us. They require people with better power and capacity to assist us. The rest, this one is one of those that requires multiple treatments. We can talk between me and DG Mazdoso. I don't think we have the power to change some of those mandates. At another level, maybe the type of issues can be resolved. And if at any point we are asked, I'm sure we will ready ourselves if we are given resources to assist in that regard. Because looking at the history of what we've done with other things, we may be able to assist. The issue of the final one is the specialized unit. The Police Act does give the National Commissioner the ability, authority, based on presenting challenges at any given time, to establish specialist units. What was closed then, we don't necessarily just re-establish them, but as and when the need presents and we see a need to do certain things, Honorable Barnett, we will do so. So we will not just have a wholesale opening, we'll be informed by our operational needs, and I think the leaders that are around here would then look into those issues, make recommendations, which we will consult with the executive and all other relevant stakeholders, and then we'll make sure that we respond accordingly so that we can deal with issues of crime. Chairperson, thank you.
Sorry, Chair, I fear the National Police Commissioner just missed the one question I had asked, which was simply a number of arrests versus number of convictions. That's the figure I'm looking for.
Is it number of arrests blanket or in a particular area? Because that's the SAP 6 matter, we can send information to the committee. Because that's also what I want to maybe clarify, so that when we send the response, we'll be able to give you that. And maybe General,
thank you. Honorable Chair. The arrest versus conviction would not give you a true reflection of the performance. The problem with arrest is the police at times arrest people. And this is what practically happens on the ground. You would arrest somebody on a Friday. On a Monday morning, the complainants will go and withdraw those cases. We have facts of those things. We did, at one stage, we went and looked at all the documents. I was concerned about the withdrawals of cases. So I went into one province, and we went through over 2,000 dockets. I couldn't find one docket that where arrests were made. I couldn't find one docket that shouldn't be withdrawn, because complainants withdrew these cases. It becomes an issue because the arrest shows, in terms of your OPAM, you will have 20,000 arrests. But in terms of your conviction, you will have 5,000 convictions. And then you will have to go and see what was the reason for those other 15,000 not getting a conviction. And the one of the reasons would be the large amount of withdrawals. Insofar as we went and changed the SAP 6 to reflect these withdrawals as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Questions from members? Maybe the final question from my side. National Commissioner, we are also going to deal with tomorrow with ITED and on Tuesday with the Secretariat. Maybe just to get your views in terms of the architecture of oversight and how you see it develop. On the one hand, I see the previous committee made specific reference to the role of the inspectorate.
know, it was for some years or a number of years, you know, should I use the political incorrect word, the stepchild of SATS. In terms of what Honourable Markie referred to yesterday as the new member that we need, has spoken, as indicated in the National Development Plan, which indicated, I think, also in the presentation, those recommendations of IPA dealing with that. It's also indicated in your spending plans that you want to also create the anti-corruption capability. Also the question of the legislative capability. I've looked also at the other two presentations, and we're going to deal with that tomorrow and Tuesday. How do you see those institutions complementing or, you know, their role in ensuring that we have, you know, police conduct in line with the Constitution? Maybe just your perspectives on that. Because it's going to be important for us when we engage tomorrow and Tuesday to test that. You know, because on the one hand, we will have to approve a budget of 90 million for the Secretariat and IPET 200 and something. And the question is, are these organizations making a difference to ensure that we have got proper police conduct? And then the inspectorate and your efforts, is there coherence or is it single silo campaign? I just want to have a response.
Chairperson, thank you for those areas that you would want me to comment on. Let me start with the inspectorate and also take into account the word that you used as being a stepchild. I would attest to the fact that 2 years ago, when I joined the service, indeed the role and positioning of the inspectorate, if I looked at the act and the role it had to play, and what I said yesterday, the pivotal role they have in terms of the assurance space and oversight space in the policing, particularly operationally, I would be as bold as say it was not receiving the optimal attention that it required. As a result, when I came in, I requested that the Divisional Commissioner who was there at that point in time embark on a turnaround strategy for the inspectorate. And I must say they've done extremely well. The positioning of the inspectorate in police currently is significantly growing in stature, in responsibility, in feedback in terms of how we're doing things, and in thickening the texture of that oversight. As I've indicated to you yesterday in terms of our combined assurance, they inspect in excess of 700 stations annually, and we look at those reports, we engage, and that has also in a way increased level of significance in terms of reliance of the AG on some of the internal reports that we have around inspection and internal audit. We've also embarked on filling the vacancies that are there, as well as looking at engaging their needs as the demands are growing on them, to look at what else we need to allocate in terms of people resources and other related resources so that they can be able to do the work that they're supposed to be doing. We've also moved on to start saying, you know, even reporting and accounting, we have accelerated that space on behalf of the inspectorate. So as you look at it, they're a very significant part of the oversight architecture of our internal policing. The same has been given to internal audit, and we've added what we call the factory visits, as I've said. The issue of IPED, Chairperson, I would say, if I were to give my comments as an accounting officer, I think any country that is looking at ensuring that their police carries the integrity, the respect from the citizens must ensure that they have a very strong police of the police outfit. So we respect the role that is being played by ISIS, and it is very crucial. And it's got to be a firm, strong focus as is possible. And this is why we are indeed cooperating, complying, engaging. We will be signing a memorandum of agreement to look at the areas that the LPIT wants to refine, highlight. And in terms of compliance, I must say, we have the target that we've been given was that we should not be below 75% of compliance. We have pushed the number that probably is still being audited. We're sitting at about 80%, and we're gunning really to move beyond the 90% of response in terms of what we are doing. We also submit our quarterly report through to the minister to go to IPIT. What we've also done to smooth the engagement, we have created nodal points in all the provinces so that reports don't lie all over. I did know that in each of the provinces we have nodal points. When they issue a report, as we receive it nationally, it's also going to the nodal point, and it is a performance area for each of the provincial commissioners, because we need to ensure that that is happening. It's a standing agenda item in our Board of Commissioners. Quarterly reports are submitted by each of the provinces, and we produce them nationally. Part of why we are looking at improving our disciplinary output is because it is very, very crucial for responding to the IPTA issues. On the anti-corruption capacity, we've made some good progress. We have set up an anti-corruption working group, which is working with all the stakeholders, doing benchmarking, researching. We're very advanced in terms of ensuring that the three legs on which it's going to stand do get processed. One is the internal investigation. We have targeted additional capacity that will go into the detectives, because they will handle the detection process internally, because we want to separate them. They can't all sit in the same place. The detectives must be separate from the prosecution, which would be sitting with, you know, between HR and the. So the prosecution are those discipline units that I've been talking about that we will be looking into. We've looked at the model of SARS and DHA. They're very good models. So we're looking at aligning our anti-corruption capacity on that one. But also because it is a reportable matter in terms of our impact. So we are progressing very well in terms of that one. We're giving it very, very serious attention. On issues of legislative capability, Chair, you would recognize that we're one of the unique departments that do not develop their own legislation. We have the Secretariat that externally develops our legislation. It's got its own complications, but we have built a process whereby we're saying you can't develop legislation, you know, without having the operational experience. So in each of the legislative processes that they get involved in, we participate and give the operational experience and operational intelligence and data that would inform that policy development. So in that regard, we are able to liaise, cooperate with the Secretariat. But we take full responsibility for developing regulations for that legislation that is developed, as well as developing our own operational policies, where we do our own SOPs, our instructions, our guidelines for operational purposes. For that, we've set up a policy subcommittee, which I chair, with all the environment so that we can, we're busy right now, you know, refreshing, building a compendium of all our operational policies, guidelines, and instructions. So we do work well with all the environment, and they're important, but I think in terms of the secretariat also, they have some provincial presence, and there is a role of the provincial government. That area is still a little bit grey. It would require attention because I think there are challenges in terms of how the legislation is set in that area. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nasukusa. That was very valuable for us as a committee, especially new members, and we will thank you for that. Yes, we come to the end of this session. I once again want to thank the members for the interaction and questions and preparation, and also again the National Commission and the delegation. Thank you very much also for your input. I think it was very valuable. I think we've got very good answers. There's some areas that we